Amen.
All right. Well, I've asked my dad to come preach tonight, and so I appreciate my dad, love him to death. And I've already talked too long, so I've already taken some of his time. So have him come and preach. He has 4 points, he says. So his name is Dan Crawford, by the way, but we call him Dad. Come on, Dad.
By the time I got through with the mission trip, I was grandpa, I think, there, buddy. That's okay, too. I count it a privilege anytime I can get in the pulpit and preach.
Amen.
And I just hope to be some kind of a blessing tonight. God gave me this message, He put it on my heart, and I began to work on it. And anyway, you can call it, there are no do-overs. Now, I'm not saying that there's no second chances. God's the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. You can just go on as long as you're willing to repent.
Amen.
And humble yourselves before God. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, before I even read my scripture, this is kind of an example. I watched some football games the last few weekends. Some good quarterbacks. But they let loose the ball, and they threw an interception. You know what was probably in their mind? I wished I hadn't thrown that ball. I wished I could get that ball back. I wished I had a second chance. I wished I had a do-over. And that's what I'm talking about. If you would, turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Ask yourself that. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Our life and the time that He gives us is not our own. And I'm primarily speaking to Christians, but if there's someone here who is not saved, the first point I get to tonight will be yours. But God gives us a certain amount of time. Used to, when I was in the oil field, for a certain amount of time, in our company vehicles, the company I worked for, we run on propane. And we were required to fill up ourselves. And you'd take the nozzle, you'd hook it up, you'd screw it to your tank, and you would turn on the pump and fill up your tank with propane. And when you got full, then you turn the pump off, and you would release the connection. And when you let the connection loose, for a moment you'd see the propane. Then it would vanish. And that's what our life is. Know ye not your life but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away? And that's our life. I don't care how long you live, that's what our life is. And Psalms 90 verse 10 says, the day of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. It's over. It's done. You don't know how long you have. I don't know how long I have. I want to turn over to Ecclesiastes, if you would, with me. I want to read you a little bit there to give you the gist of the message. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal and a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh and a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace. a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Amen. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work of God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good thing in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor, it is the gift of God. Everything I have is his. Everything you have is his. He made it all. And sometimes he gives us things, and he gives some things, more things to some than others sometimes. But what I have, he gave it to me. And it's for me to enjoy. It's for me even to sometimes to share with my children and my grandchildren to enjoy. Amen?
Amen.
But you know, life is to be enjoyed and not endured. Amen. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal or kill, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And that's what God means for us to enjoy our life here on earth. There is a time that God gives us, and it is a time He gives us certain things for me to do, you to do, you to do. And it's for you to find out what He has for you to do and to do it, and to do it the best you can. There is a time to grow up for the children here. There is a time to accept Christ. There is a time to serve God. There's a time to learn and get your education so you can serve God better. There's a time to fall in love. There's a time to raise a family. There's a time to honor mom and dad with your life and God. There's a time to be faithful and have faith. There's a time to love our neighbors as ourselves. And there's a time to be kind and compassionate. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men." That's what our life is about. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for no man knows what a day may bring forth." You don't know that you have another day, so whatever you're going to do today, do it right. If God gives you tomorrow, whatever you do tomorrow, do it right. Do it as unto the Lord. You cannot bring back yesterday, and you have no promise of tomorrow. I could lay my head down tonight and wake up in heaven, and my body would still be laying right here for Him to take care of. Well, more than likely, Tanya would take care of. No. See, God gives us a certain amount of time and certain things to do, and He brings people before us, and He gives us opportunities, and sometimes they are no do-overs. I just want to cover a few things. Now, this message is one of those, I'll kind of watch the time, and I can cut it off where I want to, or wherever the Lord have me to. But the first point is, there's a time to be saved. And I'm not presuming that everybody here is saved. There is a time and an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. And there may be a time when you run out of opportunities. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee, I have drawn thee, and behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Today, tonight. There could be somebody sitting here that's not saved, and tonight's your last opportunity to receive Christ, and you'll never receive another opportunity. I'll give you a scripture in a little bit. You don't know when your time is up. I call it when that deadline arrives. And you always talk about the deadline. You have a deadline here, a deadline there to get this done. Well, God has His own deadline. And I don't know when yours is If you're not saved, it's coming. Right. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. He loves you. He gave His Son for you. He died for you. He'll save you, and He'll save you tonight. But you might not have another opportunity. Am I trying to scare you? Yeah. If that's what it takes. Because hell's hot. And it's still there. The Lord said, enter ye in the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the path that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And few there be that find it. Well, we've explained to you, and we'll explain for a few more minutes, how you can go to heaven. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Evidently, you had a physical birth because you're here. But unless you have a spiritual birth, you won't go to heaven. Amen. Tonight you have that opportunity. The pastor will give an invitation, as we do in most Baptist churches. That's your opportunity. Amen. This is the day of salvation. You may not have another. Turn with me, if you will, to Ecclesiastes. I want to read you just a little bit there. Talking about God's deadline. Now listen carefully. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Verse 22. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. God says, I've called. You could be here tonight and He's called you. I can remember when God called. I can remember Him calling and calling and calling. I'm thankful one day I finally gave in and I went. Amen. Forward. Amen. But I'm convinced, Brother Clark, there could have been a time when he said, that's all, Crawford. I've given you all the time I'm going to give you. You've crossed the deadline. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Draw near to God. Call upon Him while He is near. Do it right. Do it now. Because there may not be any do-overs. It might be your last time. I see I got time for at least one more. Something that's very important and very dear to my heart. Sometimes there's no do-overs on this one either. Husbands and wives, love your spouse. I mean, really love your spouse while you have time. Hebrews 13:7 says, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. That tells us that marriage is God's ideal. That tells us that God instituted marriage, young people. It's not His will for young people or old people to shack up and live together. That's out of God's will. Marriage is honorable. God invented it. God set it up. I believe God that marriage is a sacred trust given by God. I was married for 47 years. Sure miss her. Somebody says, is it getting easier? Yeah, a little bit. There's sometimes you have your bad days, though. But what gave me, part of what gave me the idea of this sermon is I can think of how many times I wished I'd have just hugged her when she just wanted to be hugged, and I didn't do it. How many times how many more times should I have told her I love you and I didn't do it? You never know when one day he or she won't be there and you won't be able to hug them. And you won't be able to say, I love you. Well, I still do. But it ain't the same. Some days I say, Lord, would you tell her I love her? See, I kind of believe that. I believe I have the Holy Spirit, and I believe she's in heaven with God, and I believe we have one God, and I believe if God wants to, He can tell her, hey, He still loves you. Call me foolish if you want to, but I believe that. Sometimes there are no do-overs. Some of you who haven't been married long and you're still learning, still adapting, take every opportunity you have to say, I love you, and to hug them. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. That doesn't mean you're lower than he is. That just means that God says he's the head and you're next in line. And sometimes you got to let him make decisions. And sometimes what you've said helps him make the right decisions. A lot of times. See, that's God's plan. But yet, husbands, it says, husbands, love your wives. Amen? Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. 1 John, now, this, a lot of people just want to apply this in general, but I'm applying this to husbands and wives right now. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. How contradictory is two Christians getting a divorce? Huh? Boy, me and my wife, I can remember back, we had some doozy fights. Yeah, he can probably remember it too. My wife was very passionate in what she thought. But we were married 47 years. I was kind of taught when you get married, it's supposed to be a commitment. And you take the bad with the good. And you love one another no matter what. You forgive one another no matter what. Galatians even says this, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Husbands and wives are to serve one another. Not just the wife serving the husband, but them serving each other and serving God together. You just get one chance sometimes. You ought to just get one marriage. Now I'm saying this. Now if you've been divorced and remarried, Paul said this, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget those things which are behind. Go forward. What's that mark? For each and every one of us to be more like Christ. To treat each other like Christ would. So, if you're going to do it right, do it as unto the Lord. Love one another. Hug each other often. Tell each other I love you often. Take every opportunity. For you might wake up one morning and there's no more do-overs. I'm going to throw in one more little deal there. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't let your words be daggers, swords, and darts. Words do hurt. So well, I wish I could take that back. Too late. Amen? Number three. This once again is mostly to husbands and wives. You fell in love, you got married, and you've had children. Raise them right. Raise them right. Train them right. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I've got a ridgeback dog that minds better than most kids, than a lot of kids. That ridgeback, I've had her for about 3 years now. I tell her to sit, she sits. I tell her to come here, she comes here. I tell her to lay down, she lays down. I tell her to shake my hand, she shakes my hand. I tell her to lay down, she lays down. I tell her to roll over, she rolls over. I say she minds better than some kids I've seen. And you know why she minds better than some kids I've seen? Because I took time to train her. I sat down with her with a box of Cheez-Its. That might help you with your kids. I don't know. Amen? And I took those Cheez-Its and I trained her. I spent hours teaching her this trick, teaching her that trick. I wonder what would happen if some mothers just sat down on Saturday morning and started teaching a two-year-old no. Instead of taking it off the coffee table and putting it up on the shelf, you sat there and you trained that two-year-old and told them no, and you spat their hand. Because that's what we did to him. And I will assure you, it took a lot of spatting. It took more spatting with him than it did with the oldest one or the girl. But we trained them. Amen? We said no, and we spat their hands. And when they got big enough, we said no, and we spat their bottom. Just like the Bible says. And God taught me not to abuse my children, although I'm going to tell you, before I got saved, I was almost to that point. But when I got saved, God gave me a plan. After that, I never swatted him more than four times. And they had to do something bad to get the fourth lick. And he got the fourth lick quite often. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. You do not have to abuse them. And I don't believe in abusing them. But you do have to love them. The Bible says, if you train them, if you chastise them, you love them. It's worse not to chasten your children than it is to let them have everything they want. There are no do-overs. If you don't have that kid under control by the time they're five, you're in trouble. Six. How long was it with Micah? Eight? But yet, hey, you never give up, do you? You never give up. Sometimes you get a strong-willed child. But you never give up. You never quit. You hug them, and you love them. You chasten them, and you love them. The Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You find that a half a dozen times in Scripture. You train them, you hug them, you love them, you encourage them, you tell them how when they do something good, you brag on them, amen? If they don't do it right, you teach them how to do it right. You don't lose your patience and degrade them. Encourage them. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them how to get saved. Teach them character. Teach them how to be honest, respectful, be truthful. Teach them how to work. Teach them how to clean their room. As they grow, to clean the house. As they grow, to take care of the yard. As they grow, to help you on things that you do with the car or anything else. Amen. Or in the house. How to cook. Train them. Teach them. Spend time with them. Take them with you. Do not ignore them. I had a job so that I really wasn't supposed to, but they didn't know I wasn't supposed to. In that part, maybe I wasn't a good example, but I used to take them to work with me out in the oil field on Saturdays. I'd take one child every Saturday with me. We spent time together. I don't think Eric or Danny or Rachel would take for those times when I took them with me. So that we could talk and I could give them some little something to do. And I'm sure Eric still remembers on these tanks where there's oil in these tanks. I worked the oil, and if it was good, we'd turn it on, and I'd give him my little clippers, and there's a seal that locks the valve on the front of the tank, and his job was to cut the seal when he got big enough to turn the valve over and turn it on. Right. Gave him something to do. But we spent time together. See, love equals time. Amen? Sometimes there are no redos. See, if I hadn't have done that, I'd never got another opportunity to do that because they grow up and they're gone. Amen. You get one chance to raise them and love them. And they're grown and gone. And then they come back home. No. Not always. But as parents, aren't we usually glad to help them? Because sometimes they do need help. Some of you know his older brother had some problems with resigned the church. And him and his 9 of his 11 kids lived with me all summer. He said, "I can't believe I'm 45 years old and living with my dad." But you know what? It was a blessing to me. Because I was still having a lot of problems. And it really picked me up. And in return, I was able to help them. I got one more. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it fast. Sometimes there are no do-overs in loving, worshiping, and serving God. God wants us to be faithful. And I'm glad you're here tonight. I guess, preaching to the choir. God says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, the manner of some is, but exhort one another so much more as you see the day approaching." That means for us to be faithful in the house of God. Every time our church doors are open for worship, we are to be there. So let me encourage you and say, hey, God bless you. I'm glad you're here tonight for me to preach to. Because when you're not here, guess what? You miss a sermon you'll never get again. You miss whatever God has given to that pastor or that preacher. You're not going to get that one again. It's gone. When I finish preaching tonight, it's gone. It's done. And we hope God gives the pastor, the preachers, the evangelists, something that He wants you to hear. So let me encourage you not to miss what God has prepared God's man to give you. Be faithful. And then have faith. Have faith. Peter said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice in that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings." Don't be surprised when bad things happen to you. Things you don't understand. And so maybe sometimes you can't believe this is happening to me. God, why did you let this happen? Because God's trying to teach you something. God trains His children too. Don't let things cripple you. Don't let things scare you. Don't let things that come into your life make you run away from the church or run away from God. Don't give up. You know, one day, the Lord and His disciples got in a little ship and went across the Sea of Galilee. They thought everything was fine. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Lord was asleep in the back. All at once the waves got up high. And they began to lap over into the ship. Began to fill the ship up with water. I'm sure Peter said one of those, "What are we going to do? We're going to drown. We're going to die. Lord, wake up." And the Lord said, "Oh, ye little faith. You ain't going to die. I'm with you. Peace be still." The wind stopped. The waves fell. The sea was like glass. Everything was all right. Well, let me tell you, when you're in the storm, and I know we don't feel this way, I've been there many a time, it feels like everything's fixing to end and you're about to die and your life is ruined. But remember, the Lord's in the ship with you.
Amen.
Pastor said this morning, Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." That's His promise. That's His promise. Believe God. Serve God. I'm going to add just a little. I have a little bit more, but I'm going to finish it with this. Take your opportunities to witness. You don't know when you meet somebody and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and says, you need to witness to that person or you need to give a tract to that person. How many hundreds of times can I think of that and I didn't do it? Now, I missed an opportunity. There are no redos. Some of those people you'll never see again. Some of those people you'll never meet again. And so when we have that opportunity, we are to take it. We are to be bold. We are to hand a tract to them. We are to carry tracts. I'm guilty of not having a tract in my pocket when I should have. But I've also been guilty of not taking the opportunity to witness to somebody when God said you need to. And I might have been their only opportunity. How about you? Sometimes there are no do-overs. Would you stand with me, please? Today is the day of salvation. Sometimes there are no do-overs. Sometimes there is not a tomorrow for you. Sometime life is over. Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for no man knows what a day may bring forth. Is your relationship between your wife or your husband right? Is your husband saved? Is your wife saved? Is your kids saved? Are you doing things right? Or is there something you need to get right between you and God and them? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the opportunity to preach. I pray, dear God, you touch hearts. I pray, God, if there's someone here that's lost, they'll get saved tonight. I pray if there's people who have got animosity and bitterness and hatred between them and somebody else, they'd get it right. There are no do-overs. God, touch hearts tonight and lead. And this invitation is only you can. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.